was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified Jesus. There was a sign with this charge against Jesus written on it: the King of the Jews. They also put two robbers on crosses beside Jesus, one on the right and the other on the left. And the scripture came true that says, they put him with criminals. People walked by and insulted Jesus and shook their heads, saying, you said you could destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days. So, save yourself. Come down from that cross. The leading priests and the teachers of the law were also making fun of Jesus. They said to each other, he saved other people, but he can't save himself. If he really is the Christ, the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross. When we see this, we will believe in him. The robbers who were being crucified beside Jesus also insulted him. At noon, the whole country became dark. The darkness lasted for 3 hours. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. This means, my God, why have you abandoned me? When some of the people standing there heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. Someone there ran and got a sponge, filled it with vinegar, tied it to a stick, and gave it to Jesus to drink. He said, we want to see if Elijah will come to take him down from the cross. Then Jesus cried out in a loud voice and died. The curtain in the temple was torn into two pieces, from the top. When the army officer who was standing in front of the cross saw what happened when Jesus died, he said, this man really was the Son of God.
Thank you, Andrew. There's been lots of thunderstorms recently, haven't there? And we've all kept up the other night, weren't we, before the thunder and the lightning going on outside, and it's caused quite a lot of damage around the country, and particularly in places like Kent. And I heard that there was a small boy who was lying awake when the lightning was flashing outside and the thunder was rolling, and he said to his mum, Mum, can you sleep with me in my bedroom tonight? And she said, no, my darling, you'll be all right. I have to go and sleep with Dad. And he said, what a big wussy. Because lightning's quite frightening, isn't it? And often in jokes and things like that, we compare God's anger to lightning, don't we? We say, oh, don't say that because you'll be struck by lightning. And to us, God's anger is quite scary. But I want to show you today that actually God's anger doesn't have to be scary for us. Because if we trust and believe in Jesus, then God is never angry with us. He is never angry with us. So why does God feel angry? Well, I don't know what it's like to be an older brother. I was always a younger brother. But I'm told that it's actually quite frustrating. Because what you're trying to do, and you're sort of quite small, and you've got a younger sort of toddler-type brother or sister, and you're trying to do something creative, toddlers can come along and do something which is quite annoying. Does anybody want to come and be my toddler? Anybody can come along and be my toddler? I just want you to behave like a toddler would. Go on, Sam. And that's true, isn't it? That's what toddlers do when you're trying to do something and you're trying to be creative and build something. They can come along and they can either try and do it because they want to do what you're doing, or they just want to destroy it and then see what kind of reaction they get out of you, because that's fun. The problem is that often we grow up, and that little bit of destructiveness in us doesn't get completely lost. And sometimes as we grow up, we actually start doing destructive things to ourselves. In Holiday Bible Club in a week's time, you're going to be looking at the parable of the two lost sons told by Jesus. And if you remember, the younger son there had everything he needed. He had a nice home to live in, he had servants to look after him, he had a loving father, he had plenty of work and comfort and everything else. But he decided to throw that all up, ask for his money and go away, and he ended up a very sad person indeed, living with a peace. And that's what we're going to be looking at in a week's time. And I'm sure the father must have felt very angry with him, very annoyed, because he was doing something that was completely destructive. Hello, Phoebe. Hello, Sue. sorry. and they were doing something completely, he was doing something very destructive for himself. And you know, God hates that. God hates it when we do destructive things to ourselves. Why? Because he loves us. God hates it when we do destructive things to other people. Why? Because he loves those other people too. In fact, God hates it when we don't do everything we can to help those other people. Why? Because he loves those people. And he loves us, and he wants us to be able to help them as much as we can. Where are we in slides? I completely forgot about slides. Go on, we have some lightning. Yeah, lightning. Scary lightning. Next one. There's. Thank you. God's wrath. These are big words. But somebody described it, and you'll hear again in your DVD later on, adults. But someone's described it as settled opposition and hatred of that which is destroying what God loves. And it's not just like a flash of lightning that suddenly comes out of the sky. It's more like this overwhelming big wall of clouds that never goes away. That's what it means by saying it's settled opposition. Because God's wrath doesn't come and go like ours does as parents. And sometimes we get angry for the wrong reasons, don't we? Sometimes we just fly off the handle. Maybe we're stressed about something else. Maybe something, maybe we're just cross because we haven't got enough sleep or whatever it is. And we fly off the handle and we get angry with somebody and we shouldn't do, and that's wrong and we should say sorry for that. But God's wrath is not like that. It's settled. It's this constant storm. It's this hatred of what destroys the things and the people that God loves. So what does that mean? I think we have the next slide to do this. Yes, there we go. We have the settled storm and we have some gremlins. And the gremlins are things like injustice. He sees injustice and he says, no, I don't want that. And he sees greed and he says, no to you too. And he sees self-centeredness and he says, no, I don't want you. He sees evil in the world in all its forms. And he says, no, I do not want you around here. And he's angry with those things. He wants to be rid of those things. Why? Because they tear down and they destroy the things and the people that God loves. Now, some people try to make God sound more loving and more likeable by saying that, no, God never gets angry with anybody. God will never get cross. And our children get really annoyed with us because whenever they say something like, you know, can we go on a sleepover? Which Sylvia and I tend to think should be renamed as don't get enough sleepovers or something like that. We tend to say, and we tend to say no. And the next line is, well, so-and-so's mum lets her, or whatever, or him. And we tend to say, well, isn't it lucky that we love you? And we so care about you that we don't want you to go and harm yourself for not getting enough sleep. And they get really annoyed with us. But would it be truly loving if our God never said no to us? If our God was never cross when people do something to themselves or to other people that is destructive? He loves us. He doesn't want us to do that. How would we really feel if God said, oh, it's fine. It's fine. Just do the best you can. And heaven was just full of people who did the best they can. They did what they thought was right. They did a few things wrong. But it was all okay. God thought it's okay. Well, I don't want God to think that I'm okay. I don't want God just to put up with me as I am. I want God to be passionate about me, to love me, to think I'm the best person in the world. Now I'm not, before you think I'm getting all big-headed. But there is a reason we can think like that. And that is because we do not have to face God's anger. There is good news for us, because God's wrath has already found a focus. Now, church steeples. That's our next one, I think. Yep, there you go. This is a church steeple. It's a church called Medway Community Church in Massachusetts, which just goes to show that Americans don't have any original names or towns. This is the Medway Community Church, not in Kent. And it's beautiful, isn't it? And you know why churches have steeples? But one of the reasons is that they point up towards God and they bring glory to God because they're high and they're pointy and they're pointing heavenwards towards God. Another reason is they act as a lightning conductor. And this is the same show in 2009, when it was struck by lightning. Now Jesus is like a church steeple because Jesus points up towards God and he brings glory to God. But in another strange sense, he's also like a lightning conductor. Because when Jesus stood on that cross, which we just read about, and he said, as he was dying on that cross, those words, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which helpfully our Bibles tell us means, my God, why have you abandoned me? That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was being our lightning conductor. He was the one who was taking God's anger and disappointment and wrath about our sin, about the destructive things we do to ourselves and to other people. And he was taking it upon himself in Jesus, who is God himself. As the centurion said, surely this man was the Son of God. So that's what Jesus was doing on the cross. He was taking God's anger away from us so that we have nothing to fear from God. We have nothing to fear from God's anger. It has all been taken by Jesus. What love. What love did God show us when he sent his own Son to die for us on the cross? What outrageous love. How passionate about us must he have been to send Jesus. God's not just okay with us if we love Jesus and if we follow Jesus and if we said to Jesus, sorry for my sins, sorry for the wrong things I've done, I want to follow you. He is passionate about us because he loves us so much. We're going to sing now our next song, which is Who Has Held the Oceans in His Hands. That talks about the glory of God. It's also a song that talks about the cross of Jesus. And after this song, Judy will lead us in some prayers, and then.